the farthest extent beyond what we would even dream, just to remind us individually, I care about you. I love you. I want to be near you. I guess I'm trying to remember who sings it. I don't know if it's Phillips, Craig, and Dean, or my favorite person here singing is Brother George Davis. But he sings that old song. It says, I watched you as you fell asleep last night, and I trembled as I watched those tears you cried. So I splashed your face with moonlight. I longed for your embrace, but you didn't even see. You never noticed me. But no matter how long it takes, somehow I'll find a way. No matter how far you run, there's no distance that's too great. When the wind blows through the treetops in the music of the rain, somehow my love will find a way. No matter how long it takes. I don't even remember the rest of the other verse, but God's love sometimes reaches. Sometimes when we aren't even paying attention, and he just comes by and gives us sometimes a gentle knock. Sometimes it's just a whisper that, hey, I came by this service, and if nobody else wants to touch me, I want to touch you. No matter how long it takes, I've got love that'll reach where you are. Sometimes even when we ignore his presence, aren't you glad that sometimes we got our minds on everything else in the world, and all of a sudden God will remind us, even in his house, hey, I'm the reason why you're here, and I can take care of every problem you've got. I'm glad he thought we were worth saving. We were worth saving. Hallelujah. If you want to read with me tonight, Luke chapter 11. I'm going to try not to preach too long tonight. Just get into the reading and preaching of God's word. I appreciate those of you that prayed and responded this morning. Just let God touch you. And I'm going to be honest. I'm not an old preacher. And as long as they'll keep letting me be a young preacher, I'm going to be one. And as long as they don't throw me under the bus and keep calling me young man, I'm going to keep accepting it. But I have found within the last 2 or 3 years that I find myself going back to our foundations and preaching a lot of just common, simple principles. Everybody is reaching for the unseen, and I love it when God opens his word and gives you nuggets that just connect with the Old Testament and the New Testament and all in between, and God just reveals himself to you. Man, I love it. I love when that happens. But sometimes what we need to understand is, as though I love ice cream, I can't live on ice cream. And there are certain things within the Word of God that, though they're not exciting sometimes and they don't get a lot of attention, these principles are what works. I preached, it was Thursday night, just on that simple, just intentional sowing. When you sow, you reap. Whatever you put in the ground is coming back up. I'm going to tell some of us these principles, if we'll act upon them, we'll see God's word come to fruition every time. Whatever he says, he means it. So having said that, tonight, I want you to stand with me just for a moment. We'll read about 4 or 5 verses of Scripture. I want you to look at these principles with me. In Luke chapter 11, we're going to begin at verse 9. The words, most of you will be reading these words in red. That means this is Jesus speaking. This is his teaching. This is what he is saying. And in this portion of Scripture, this particular place, he is teaching about prayer. Verse 9, if you're there in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, just say amen. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. I want everybody to say that. Everyone. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Isn't it amazing, even people that don't like anybody, most of the time they like their own children. See something in their own offspring that they like. People that will fight with everybody will protect their kids sometimes. I know we're living in a messed up generation that there's a lot of child abuse, but there are a lot of wicked people that would kill you in a heartbeat, but boy, they would do anything to protect their own children. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, everybody say this with me, how much more? Say that one more time. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? What's the prerequisite? To them that ask him. God has so much to give, but he's not going to waste it. He only gives where there are those that are asking. Now, it's amazing to think that there's somebody that can give anything and desires to give everything. But there are people that stand in his presence and leave as empty as they came in because they just never asked. God, I love you. I thank you for your word. I pray for your anointing. God, I ask, Lord, that you would let this come so alive in me that it would become animated in my mind and in my mouth. God, take the thoughts of my mind and coordinate it with the words of my mouth. And Lord, let my mouthpiece become your mouthpiece, God. Speak through me tonight the divine oracles that are thine. I pray tonight, God, that you would speak to us as a congregation, God, as we elevate our faith and our desires, God, from things that are natural, carnal, and temporal to things that are eternal and supernatural, God, those that will last forever. I pray tonight, God, that we would broaden our spectrum of faith and believe you to do things in this place, God, that cannot be done anywhere else in this world. I pray, Lord, that you would touch us, revive us, and refill us once again. Let every heart be poised to receive that you desire to plant within us. God, let these altars become a healing place and a place of refilling, God, once again for every life. Move among us, walk these aisles. God, I'll give you the glory and the praise for what you're about to do. God, I have every desire and expectancy. Every fiber of my faith, God, is crying out, believing that you're going to meet us in this place tonight. Thank you for your presence that's already been here. God, for the reassurance of your love and your power that is amongst us. We give you glory for who you are and for what you've done. We ask all these things to be done. Preach through us. Let folks receive that is desired in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I want to start a little slower than what maybe even I am used to. Sometimes I will get the cart before the horse and get a little too excited and miss some of the good stuff that's within the Word of God. I know that this is probably something that you will hear a lot more in the business realm than we do in the church. But as I began to read this once again this afternoon and look at these scriptures of the Lord giving to those that ask, I began to think about the reason for our asking. Most of the time, we're not just asking because we want a brand new car or just because we want to live in a fancy house. But most of the time, when we are desperate enough to ask, it's because the need has gotten so great that it's gone beyond our resources. Has anybody ever exhausted your resources? And you've looked in your funds and maybe into those places that you had laid back, and all of a sudden you found that you didn't have any laid back anymore. And you had dipped in and you had borrowed and you had begged, and now you found yourself at a place where you didn't feel like you could ask for anything else. That's where I find a lot of individuals are before they begin to ask of God. And when we come in, usually we're desperate, and anything that God does seems like just an overwhelming sense of flow of God's glory. And it's a wonderful thing to know that he's mindful of us. But it brought me to this thought pattern. I begin to think about the fact that there are so much available that we don't have to wait until that moment of desperation, until we just come into God's presence and say, God, I have a need. And it brought me to this mindset of this corporate structure many times that we hear about in the world. There is something, a principle. It's called supply and demand. Brother Burgess mentioned it the other morning. My thoughts were already running here. I didn't know if I'd preach both services or not. I didn't know exactly what the Lord would allow in this weekend. But I began to think about supply and demand and relating it to the church. This is what I find out in the business world, that you can have the very best of products, the greatest of the markets in your field. You can be the best at doing what you do. But if there's no demand for that you are marketing, can I tell you, you'll go out of business. I know that this is probably a sore subject in the church and something that we want to act like we didn't notice, but how many realize that you can't hardly find a Blockbuster anymore? You see, all the Christians wondering, is anybody else going to nod? Blockbuster. You can take it for what it's worth. Here's what I understand is Blockbuster didn't quit making good DVDs. I don't know if there are any good ones that they put out, but I will say this. They played well, and they did the job. There's nothing wrong with those DVDs. Let's go back a little even further. How many knows that you're hard-pressed to find a VHS tape anymore? And it's not that they didn't work. It's just there was no demand. And so it didn't matter that there was a great supply. Now, I've got my own personal thoughts on why Blockbuster went out of business when all this Redbox and even Netflix and those things that you can get in your home. I don't believe the world is what put Blockbuster out of business. I think it's the church. Because most of those that used to hide their car around the vehicle or around the corner, whatever they had to do to make sure that nobody saw them at Blockbuster, now they can just get it from the convenience of their home. And so Blockbuster's out of business. Not because they didn't know how to make DVDs. There just was not the demand. How many knows you're hard-pressed to find a payphone anymore? Not because you couldn't make calls on them. Not because they didn't work. But it was just simply the fact that there was a supply that came in. That now everybody's got their own personal phone that is not tethered to a phone booth. That with the exception of maybe Clark Kent, nobody needed one. And so I find that the demand has a lot to do with it. If you don't have a demand, it doesn't matter how good your supply is. It's not that people run out of money. You look around, even the first phones. Man, I'll never forget when me and Holly first started dating. I bought her a little phone, looked like a little block brick cube. And man, we'd talk on those things for hours. And man, my bill would be crazy. And we'd have to wait till certain hours of the night to make calls because it was cheaper. And then when texting came in, it was like 50 cents a text or something crazy, 25 cents, whatever it was. I mean, texting back and forth was expensive. And then all of a sudden it became unlimited texting, unlimited calls, nights and weekends. Anybody remember that? I'm kind of dating myself a little bit. Nights and weekends. I'll never forget calling cards. I when I first got my first girlfriend as an evangelist son, going into the payphone and dialing up that card and number, paying my 30 bucks or whatever it was for however many minutes. And I could stand there and talk as long as I wanted. Oh, Lord, help us right here. You don't do that anymore. Nobody seems to be buying calling cards and looking for phone booths. It's not that we ran out of money. It's not that quarters are in short supply. It's just that there is no demand. You can have the very best. Somebody tell me what it is, a flugel? What was it I just ate the other day? Snoogle. Something from a Dr. Seuss book. I don't know. I like them with green eggs and ham. It was delicious. I loved it. And from what I understand is that it was a mistake. But sometimes even our mistakes have demands. And now it becomes a product that everybody is familiar with around this local area. And you got to have one. You got to taste it, man. They're delicious. They're wonderful. But if somebody else makes something else, you'll find that they'll go out of business. If nobody buys, is it Snoogles? Snoogles. If they don't buy them, it doesn't matter that they taste good. If there is no demand, it does not matter how good your product is. It's not a lack of funds. It's not that the world is out of money and nobody can afford a Snoogle. It's just that our appetites sometimes change. Somebody say amen. I began to look at this. I thought to myself, with our appetites changing, it seems like every generation there's something new that comes comes out. And I began to kind of chuckle within myself to think that it's funny that huge corporations and companies like Walmart or McDonald's, or let's maybe go a little high tech, Samsung or Apple, that they are at the disposal. They are somebody that is at the mercy of somebody that makes $8.50 an hour. They've got billions of dollars. They've made tons of money. But if we quit using their product, how many understands they'd go out of business tomorrow if everybody decided, I don't want an iPhone. Why? Because there is a supply that comes with the demand. As I began thinking about that, boy, I thought it's funny that Microsoft needs somebody that's low on the totem pole, somebody that makes a minimum wage. Can I tell you what is more ironic than that? That there is a God that can make anything in this world, that can do all things well, and He is at the mercy of sometimes our very meager appetite. God that can do anything in our services. God, help me preach this the way I feel it, because there's sometimes we come to church and the supply is greater than what the demand is. It's not, oh, it's not that there are not demands in life, but it seems to me that many times our meager appetite is satisfied with other things that is in this world. Can I tell you that God feeds us and supplies our needs based off supply and demand? That's why God, man, I loved what you read about the little red hen. Could I get a copy of that before I leave, before I forget about that wonderful teaching this morning about the little red hen and all of her product and what she made? Can I just cut it short and cut to the chase and tell you in the church that God is not about equality? You got to hear that again. God is not about equality. Why? Because equality creates waste. Let me explain what I'm saying. There are some people that have a great big appetite. If I was making 6 egg omelets, I wouldn't look around this room and count how many heads are here and then just go make everybody a 6 egg omelet. Why? Because my son wouldn't eat half of one. Now, if I was making 6 egg omelets, I'd just go ahead and count one for Brother Jones, because he knows what to do with a 6 egg omelet. I might make 2 for me, because I've got no problem knowing what to do with a 6 egg omelet. But if everybody gets the same thing, can I tell you there are some that they get it, they're hungry, and they'll scarf it down, and they'll want more. There are others that'll sit there, and it'll waste and rotten and ruin, and God hates waste. I said, God hates waste. God, help us this evening to understand that God gives us according to our appetite, according to our desire, according to what we long for. Can I tell you that God not only is not into equality, but His favor is not fair. If His favor was fair, He's just, and He is no respecter of persons. But you cannot understand the favor of God. If God's favor was fair, then everybody gleaning in the field, not just Ruth, would have got handfuls on purpose. There are people that have been in your same situation. They've already died. They're already spending eternity in hell. But somebody here ought to raise a hand and say, I'm thankful. I know it's not fair, but He favored me. I don't know why He picked me out of the field. Man, I wish somebody felt what I was feeling. I know that I didn't deserve it. I know that I wasn't worth it, but He looked down on me in favor. I was the prodigal son. He brought me back and gave me another opportunity, not because His favor is fair, but because God loves that individual that will turn his heart back toward Him and ask. Thank God that He rewards us according to our hungers. If you look at the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, you and I look at this. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now again, if God was equal or fair, this verse would have never fit in. But it says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. Man, people get quiet when you preach this stuff. Because we don't understand why the pastor needs a raise. Maybe that's not the problem here at this church. I hope it's not. I hope y'all give him one all the time. Hope you'll bless him abundantly and broad. Anybody ever looked around you? Such and such got a new car. Thank God. Did they ask you to make the payments? No. Good. Let them have a new car. To one, five. To another, two. To another, one. The Bible said, according to their several abilities. Here's what we got to understand. It's not everybody is going to be judged or look to produce the same thing. God, help me preach this. Not everybody in the church is going to be an evangelist. Not everybody in the church is going to be a deacon. Not everybody is going to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody is going to have an equal office. Not everybody is going to be as good at grilling hamburgers as that brother back there. Not everybody is going to have the same talents or abilities. Can I tell you, not all are expected to produce the same results, but all are required to be faithful with that has been entrusted to them. You're not going to be judged based off what Brother Jones does or what he knows. You're going to be judged off your several abilities. God's not just looking to create equality. God's going to bless us according to our knowledge and according to our hunger. Man, I don't know about anybody else. That may be something that doesn't excite you, but it excites me to know that what I get is not dependent upon anybody else that is in this room. If nobody else wants a revival, I read that if any man will hear his voice when he's knocking and open the door, he said, I will come in and sup with him and he can sup with me. Look at your neighbor and understand, your revival is not connected to them. You can have a revival all by yourself. You can be blessed when it's a famine around you. You can be living in power and glory, no matter what anybody else does. If you present your demand to God, he has an overwhelming supply. His supply is always greater than our demands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The problem is sometimes we look around at other people's blessing. And we get jealous. Now this one servant with one talent, his problem is, Brother Miguel, is he thought he knew the master. He said, I knew you were a hard man. He automatically assumes that he's not merciful, loving, or kind. That he's not just giving him this, not just for a test, but so that you can enjoy the virtue and the joy of servanthood. I'm going to tell you right now, there's joy in serving God. Some people that don't enjoy going to church, there's something wrong with them. They're those one talent people that keep hiding in the sand and they got to show up for Sunday morning and they don't know why we don't just have but one service a day. Oh, man, I don't know. We've got Wednesday night, too. I don't know if I can make all that. God help us to realize there are some people that have a bigger appetite than you. So don't get mad at the rest of the church that craves for Wednesday night and can't wait to be there for prayer meeting because there's something in them that says, I need more than the average believer. I want to draw nigh to God because every time I do, he draws nigh unto me. Don't be jealous of somebody's blessing. Seen that is hungrier than you are. You can't fake it. I said you can't fake it. If it ain't genuine, it'll show. God help us to have a genuine desire that says I've got to be where he is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want more of him. And so to get more of him, I give him more of me. My dad's an electrician. So every once in a while, these analogies really resonate with me. Used to be, there wasn't breakers. Now, I'm old enough to remember this, but not because I'm old. But it's because people are cheap. And so rather than change their panels out, they'd keep these old fuse boxes. How many remember fuse boxes? And see, the difference between a fuse and a breaker is that a breaker kicks and you go, see, there's too much on it. You kick it back on. It'll get weak over time. You'll have to replace it. But a fuse, it was a one blow kind of deal. You blow a fuse, you had to keep a drawer full of them. Because you had to replace the fuse every time. Now, here's what some real smart people decided to do. They was going to trick the fuse. And so they'd take a copper penny. Some of you old people that know what I'm about to say, come on, stay with me. For you young people, ain't got no idea. They'd take that copper penny and they'd stick it behind that fuse and then put the fuse in, and it would trick the fuse. It wouldn't kick. The only problem with that is that over time, it would get hot. And because it wouldn't allow it to do its job, untold houses burnt down for a penny. Burnt houses down for a penny. How many individuals do you know that their life is on fire because they're trying to trick God and act like they've got more? They've got a greater capacity. Oh, yeah, I can make an I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't upgrade your service, you're going to keep blowing fuses and you're trying to trick God. It'll burn you down to the ground every time. You got to get an upgrade. I said somebody needs an upgrade. If all you've got is just a little puny desire, don't be surprised if a little bit of His power keeps tripping your breaker and you feel like, oh, I can't make it to five nights of revival. I can't handle that much of camp. God, help us to realize that there's a reason some people have a great big capacity for the things of God. It's because they're hungry. I said they're hungry. Jabez has been made out to be some charismatic prayer, but can I tell you, the word of God bears out that Jabez just had a desire for more of God. Enlarge my coast. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Man, I wish somebody in this place would get that kind of desire that says, what I have is not enough, but I don't have a capacity to handle more. So God, grow me, stretch me, enlarge my borders. Give me a bigger capacity so I can have more of the things of God. I can shout longer, pray harder, I'll run faster because of the things of my God. God, give us a desire that meets the supply that heaven is offering us. Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know that when they gathered manna, they gathered it according to their desire. Those that had a lot, it was because they were hungry for a lot. Those that had gathered little, and there was no lack, but they had nothing left over. The Bible says in Exodus 16 and 18, they gathered every man according to his eating. Now, you can sit there and look at me like I'm preaching some newfangled doctrine, but this is something that all of us can relate with. Most of us that are married, we carry this uncommon burden that our wives sometimes don't eat all that's on their plate. Every once in a while, I'll wait to see what she's going to order because I know a lot of times if I want some of that, there'll be plenty left over. And so if she's ordering the grilled chicken, sometimes I'll go for the steak or the shrimp or something because I know if I can have some of that. It's funny to me, there have been sometimes if we're really celebrating something special, she'll say, now I'm saving room for dessert. You see, I've grown up, I've never had to save room for anything. And so I just order and eat. And there's been sometimes she couldn't finish what was on her plate, but she still wanted a dessert. And so she'd order dessert to take home. Now I've kind of got this mindset that it's no problem, eat it whenever you want to. But if it stays more than 8 hours in the fridge, that's anybody's food. See, if I had to eat according to her desire, this is not me throwing off on her. This is the fact that I've got a great big appetite. My dad, 6'4". A lot of you saw him Thursday night. Big man. He's got a big, deep voice. I didn't get that. Got 6'4" in height. I didn't get that. He gave me his appetite. I'm 5 foot nothing, you know. Trying to find where to put all this to make sure it don't overflow. But I love to eat, but the fact is I don't eat according to what she wants. I eat according to my hunger. I don't order for her because I have no idea how much she wants or what she desires. Sometimes my appetite will change, and we can go to the same restaurant. I may get the same thing 6 times over, but the 7th time I may want something else. I'm still preaching on supply and demand. What I'm trying to make it real to you is this, is that everybody has their own individual desires. And so therefore, God's not just sending us a shout service or a cry service, and everybody's just got to get in. God can heal over here while he's saving over there. You got to hear what I've come to let you know. God won't force feed anybody. The God that can do anything but fail could not feed very much. He could do very little where there is no hunger. This is something that also applies to preaching. If you want your preacher to preach really good, then come hungry. Oh, if there's a hunger in the congregation, it draws the anointing out of a preacher. If you come sit on the edge of your pew on Sunday morning and you're there letting him know, hey, I can't wait for what you've got to say next, he'll preach to you like he's never preached to you before, because you are somebody that regulates the flow of the anointing. It's not that the preacher is not anointed. I know that we get a reputation. Well, they could preach to a fence post. Thank God you ought to be able to. But when somebody's there that's really hungry, that wants to hear the word of God, there are things that I didn't even know I had on the inside that will come out of me when somebody wants something from the Lord. If our hunger regulates the flow, you ought to look at somebody and say, get hungry, get hungry, get hungry, get hungry, get hungry. I want more of God. This leads us to an individual relationship. Man, I've got to hurry. An individual relationship with our supplier, which is based off our personal demands. This is how he can reassure you that there hath no temptation taken you individually, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody say that. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation. That's the demand. Also make a way to escape. That is the supply, that ye may be able to bear it. Now here's the question I want to ask us. Is when we come to church, are the demands being put on you, or are you putting demands on the service? Think about it. How many times do we come in and there are so many things going on in our life? We come in with demands. God, you got to meet these needs. But when we live by faith, walk by faith, talk by faith, not by sight, we can come in. This is not saying that you tell God what to do. This is saying that there's a God that's waiting in heaven for you to ask. And when you ask in faith, then there's a desire on the inside of you that says, God, I'm coming and I'm expecting an overpour. I'm expecting an overflow, God. I'm expecting you to move in this service. Can I tell you, God is faithful? I said, God is faithful, because I find that while my temptation may be forming simultaneously, so is also my way of escape. God sees the trial before I get
there, and he's already got a means provided that I can bear it. I've just got to ask. There is nobody that has fell out of church and backslid because the load was too great and there was no means for them to bear it. They just didn't seek. They didn't ask. They didn't knock. God won't fail anybody here. You may be dealing with demands of life, but can I tell you, if you bring those demands to the supplier will overwhelm your demand. Don't let the demand overwhelm you, but let your God supply overwhelm the demand in your life.
It doesn't matter if you're in the worst, most threatening battle of your life. If that's you, you need God to move in your life, he says, ask. On the other flip side of that coin, you can be somebody that's living on cloud nine, but you're just still hungry. And he says, ask. So the thing I'm trying to get across, and I'm almost done preaching, is that you don't have to be scraping bottom to be blessed over and abundantly. You see, I've preached several camps this year, and this has been something that's been common in at least two different camps. And that is, they want the kids to be full. This is something that I'm always to be honest. I didn't have any problem with at Broadway. Camp Blessing, they load your plate up just smiling at you. And so there was a night or two, I actually skipped dinner because I knew that I had to preach and breathe. So I'd wait to eat till after church. But this was the common rule at most of these camps. They didn't want to waste the paper plates or whatever they were using, so they would say this. Now, you're welcome to all you want. After everybody goes through the line and come back for seconds, just save your plate. Bring it back through. We'll fill it back up. You see, there's some people that they've always got a problem. They just get a plate and they feel good about it. But then there's other people that God's been so good and blessed them. And what was so good about that first plate, them knowing that there was more. They're not going to starve eating one plate a day. But when you know God's got more, you see, I know we're trying to become a more health-conscious society and just eat what we need. But God likes spiritually fat people. God likes when you come back with an appetite that says, Lord, you did it this morning, but I came back saving my plate. You didn't hear what I said. I showed up tonight, and I know you've already filled my plate today, but I'm still hungry. And if you got anything back there behind the line, why don't you put a little bit more on my plate? If somebody back there didn't come hungry and you've got leftovers, man, I'm trying to close this message, but I've come to tell somebody that if you're hungry, God works off a supply and demand system. You say, I really need God to do something in my life. He says, ask me, ask me, ask me, knock on my door, seek my face. You can have it if you want it. If you want it, you can get it. You can get this whole time. Religion down in your soul. God has more for you. This is what he says. You see, when the demands got tremendous, humanity's demands were more than what anybody could imagine. Sin dominating in our lives, God sent a supply to a place called Calvary. Hallelujah. And when this supply hit Calvary's mountain and the blood was shed, it doesn't matter how many sins have been committed at that point or since, there has been enough supply to meet the demand.
Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how wicked this world gets. The Bible says where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. That lets me know we can go in the darkest, most deep, sin-filled crevices of this world where every derelict and every perversion may abide. But if we get there, there's more grace in there than there is sin. There's a greater supply than there is a demand. You say you don't know how bad my family is. You don't know how big God is. God's supply has never been exhausted by humanity's demands. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and give him glory. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand with me all over this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the Lord right here. You see, God created us in his image, fashioned us after his own likeness. Can I tell you, God has a large appetite as well for grace, truth, righteousness, holiness, so much to the point that you'd have to call him the source of grace, hope, truth, righteousness, holiness. But can I tell you, above and beyond that, God has a humongous appetite for victory. So therefore, he made the claim, all power. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. But he understands that though he left us a supply on Calvary, he wanted to put a supply in every heart. And so he went then a little bit later to an upper room. And he dropped off another double portion of supply. And this supply is what it does. This is what it does for us. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has such an appetite for victory that he never wants you to lose. You need to hear that. God doesn't ever want you to lose. You don't ever have to look at a battle and say, I lost it. God has got a supply that is greater than your demands. So tonight, this is what I've come to ask us as we get ready to pray. I'm going to give this altar call specific for two different kinds of people. I'm going to give an altar call for those that the demands of life have you needing a greater supply. This is not anything to your shame. This is just you being honest, saying there's things going on right now that in my own human flesh and nature, I cannot overcome. I need his supernatural supply. I'm asking you to come right now. Come stand around this altar. This is for you. Come on, come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about what anybody else is going to say or do. If that's not you, don't wait. Don't worry. I'm coming to you in just a moment. If there are needs in your life that are greater and what you possess the ability within yourself. I want to give this a moment because sometimes we like to shy away. We don't like anybody to know that this is too heavy for me to carry alone. I've come to let you know you've got a burden bearer. You don't have to carry any burden alone. His supply will be greater. Don't anybody just sneeze at these demands and act like these are just weak people. Sometimes God looks at the strongest among us. He increases the pressure because he knows they can handle it. He knows that they can make it. Is there anyone else tonight? I need an extra supply because I'm walking through a place that's got extra demands. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. All right, nobody else is left out because everybody else here, I believe this is you.
You say, I've come tonight and God's met my needs and I've been blessed. God did so much for me last week and I go to a wonderful church. But I've been saving my plate because there's a desire on the inside that there ain't nothing else in this world that can satisfy it. So I've come tonight and I'm just hungry for more. If that's you, come on. Come on. If you're just hungry for more, step out of those pews. Come on. Come on, gather around this altar. I'm asking everybody that's physically able, let's get as close as we can to the front, because the greater the demand, the greater the supply. Can I say that again? The greater the demand of the church, the greater the supply of our God. Come on, you can get all you want, all that you desire. Let God meet the demands of life. Let God move for your individual need. As they begin to sing tonight, I'm going to ask you to elevate your whole voice. Elevate your hands. Lift your heart. Let's call out to God. God, you know what I'm carrying. God, you know what I need.
Let your manna from heaven
nobody
Making
else got to be going through what you're going through.
You want me to be.
God relates to your individual needs.